there's a crispness in the air, and the smell of ozone saturates the plain as a figure crosses a plateau. They look to the sky, cast in the faint outline of purple haze from the sunrise, and take another step. Twin moons trace the horizon, following a trajectory as surely as a river runs its course. And though they will continue to follow their path for time beyond the limits of memory to come, it is a memory for them that will not be made. Looking down from the sky, they take another step, slowly this time, as the threshold comes closer and closer. They stop. Looking back at the path they followed, they see the faces of those behind them, bedraggled, threadbare, and grim. It's not fair that those so fair must make such a difficult journey, such a difficult choice. Sleds line the path of 100 feet, and the expressions of those behind are at best somber, and at worst, panicked. And yet, no further choice remains. It is to the threshold, or no further. Perhaps the twins will remember them as their people fade from the land. Perhaps not. Memory fades with time, even among those in the heavens. They sigh, turning back towards the dawn, towards a glowing light standing static on the hill. Another figure is paused there, but looking back at them, calm, sad, but hopeful. They beckon gently towards the door, then turn and walk through, disappearing from sight. Our focus returns to the first figure, gazing up the path. Others pass them, making their own way towards the threshold, until eventually they find themselves alone. Looking towards the sky again, towards the growing light of the sun, they take another step and are gone. The choir of voices grow louder now as the three of you approach the portal in the midst of the Dryad's cavern. The light of the entry twists and spins in luminous gold, circling its border. Another step, then another, and then the cavern is gone. And just as it disappears, you find yourself blinded. The past few days of travel, combined with lurking underground, does not prepare you for the light you walk into. It's bright here, and it's loud. But your eyes adjust as you blink, opening them to the room around you. It's large and circular, with twin stairs running down to what seems like a doorway from a balcony above. You can see that this pattern seems to continue, with tens of balconies above, all with identical staircases descending from them. But beyond that, you see faces. Hundreds of faces, pale, dark, tanned, all with the telltale sharp ears of elven kind. What do you do?
Pretty awestruck right now.
Yeah, I think Mordecai is just like rubbing his eyes over the mask, just trying to like get himself back to a state of being able to see things properly.
Yeah.
Any like clues that would give us a idea of where we are or when?
Could I have you roll a perception check? And in fact, perception checks for anyone who wants to make that check.
I was about to ask, yeah.
And we're back, baby.
Perception checks all around.
That's what I'm talking about.
First roll of the game.
7 for Giovanni.
14 for Mordecai, doubling up.
Let's see what the wise guy has to say.
What do your elf eyes see?
Well, rules, oh my god. 10.
Okay, yeah, so, Giovanni, you asked the question, so I'll respond to you first. You are certainly in some kind of room. It is a large, what seems like a stone room. You're on the main floor, and just as I said before, there are like these balconies that kind of circle it. Maybe you're in some kind of tower, you're not quite sure, and there's staircases kind of connecting them all together. But that's about all you pick up on. Val, it's not much better than that. You know that you're in a stone room. You know you're surrounded by elves, and you know that's kind of telling in and of itself, but you don't really know where or say when you are. Mordecai, it would be very difficult for you to figure out just from looking around when you are. People look like everything looks how people look. Like, it doesn't look like there are people walking around with like cyber binoculars now or things like that on their face. Like, you're just kind of looking around like, yeah, this is how people look. I will say that perhaps you pick up on that this room that you're in feels really old. Okay. Like, it's certainly different than the cavern. It's not damp and like with mold and things on the walls, but there's something about it that looks like it's been uncared for, perhaps.
Okay.
And that's about all you guys managed to gather from just quickly looking around.
I was more concerned, Josh, like if like did they notice us come through the portal? You know what I mean? Like, are people looking at us or?
I'll say with your 10, you don't really pick up on a lot of like what people are doing around you, but they don't seem to be particularly interested in you and what you're doing.
Okay, that's fair.
Where's the closest building to us? Like, how far away are we?
You are currently in a building.
Oh, okay.
There's like no windows or anything like in this. It's a solid building, so you can't like see outside and see what's going on. Mm. You just know that you're in what seems like a giant tower.
Are there markings or carvings along the walls at all?
With a 14 perception, I'll say that you don't really see any markings around. I will say that what you do see is it's not just you standing in this room surrounded by people. Mm. And it's not just a portal behind you. There are portals all over the place.
Oh, shit.
They line the walls.
Oh, whoa.
And as you look up onto the balconies above, you see that there are portals there as well. And just like the one you walked through, they're crackling yellow.
Mm. Oh, wow.
May I walk up to one of these elves?
Sure.
I'm definitely going to go along with you.
Can I attempt to speak to one?
Sure. Okay. So we'll say that you three kind of make your way out of your portal. You take your bearings for a second. And then Giovanni and Val, you kind of take a few more steps forward, seeing now that you're surrounded by elves, and you walk up to one. It seems kind of maybe a elf in his middle years. He has long hair. It's black, but you can see it's starting to freckle with some bits of gray there. And you walk up to him. He doesn't really look at you. He doesn't notice you as you walk up to him.
Sedeth ithnahithin. It's me attempting to say the elf greeting.
Without fail.
So he turns from where he's looking and looks at you, and he just kind of has like a blank expression on his face.
Sorry to bother you, sir. Do you speak the common tongue?
He stops and he says, yes, I speak the common tongue.
Excellent. Where are we?
He doesn't respond to you.
What if you say, when are we?
When are we?
He's kind of pausing and he's looking at you, but he doesn't respond.
Okay.
Which one of these places goes back to Renlin? Do you know where Renlin is? It's a town. It's by the coast.
So, Mordecai, you've kind of walked up and you've joined Giovanni and Val at this point, guiding them in their investigation into this fella. And he now turns from looking at Giovanni and he looks at you, but he doesn't respond.
Val, I think it might be an elf-to-elf kind of thing.
Can I address him in Elvish, then? And just, again, I implore him where we are and what kind of this place is.
Okay, Val, so you seamlessly transition straight into Elvish, and you ask the similar question, like, where are we? And he turns and he faces you, and he doesn't respond.
I see how it is. I'm going to take, like, 5 gold out of my pocket and just be like, fair trade for some information.
These aren't dwarves, Mordecai.
Whoa.
People need money, not just dwarves. That's a bit racist.
Yes.
Wow. I can't. Jeez, Val. I can't believe you just went there.
Only an elf would say something so crass.
I mean, what is it between you guys? Hasn't there been peace between elves and dwarves for like a century now? Come on.
Many centuries.
A century is a lot faster for an elf.
Yeah, this.
fair enough.
Excuse me, sir. I asked you a question. Why did you choose to ignore me and my friends?
So his gaze has now switched from you, Giovanni, to Mordecai, to Val, perhaps to the gold as Mordecai pulls it out of his hand. And then you address him again, Giovanni, and he looks at you. But he doesn't say anything. But he's looking at you.
Are you trying to speak to me telepathically?
He doesn't respond to that.
Could I grab him by the shirt?
Yes.
Please, sir, speak up. We're lost. We don't know where we are. I implore you, tell us where we are.
Is that an intimidation check?
Yes.
Yeah, more... that sounds like an intimidation check to me.
Oh, man, I've never seen Giovanni beg before.
There needs to be something.
I'm so alone. Where am I?
There's something. There needs to be an option between intimidation and persuasion. It can't all be...
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at persuasion and...
Like, there should be, like, implore.
I rolled a 9 for intimidation.
Okay, so you're kind of looking at this guy. You pick him up. You grab him. He doesn't resist you or anything. But you grab him by his collar, and you're just kind of shaking him around. but he does not respond to you. He's just kind of staring blankly at you as you shake him about.
What a dick.
Josh, could I try and use a persuasion and implore him? And just, I want to say in Elvish, of course, hi, we're from the Renland City Guard. All the elves in our city have gone missing. It's an investigation. Any information you can have to help us understand what's happening here would be a great asset, I guess. I'm trying to be good cops, so.
Yeah, sure. I see through the guise of what you guys are doing. Roll a persuasion check.
Oh, God. 6.
So he is being sort of grappled by Giovanni by his collar, loosely grappled, shooken around, and he doesn't respond to Giovanni, and then you kind of try to persuade him. I presume you're still speaking in Elvish, so maybe Giovanni doesn't pick up on this, but he does look over at you, Val, as he's being shooken. It's kind of comedic how he's being like thrown around, but like calmly looking at you, but he doesn't respond.
Oh, boy.
Guys, I don't think we're getting very far here.
Yeah, let's just leave this guy, man. We'll figure it out.
Let's keep looking around, you know? Like,
There's a lot of people going in all these portals. Someone's gonna figure it out.
Hopefully it's one of you three.
Maybe we could see if there's someone from the town that we're looking for in here?
Maybe.
Like, there were other elves in the garrison. There was elves in the university I went to. There's elves that run shops. I mean, if there were, 20% of the population, there's got to be at least one here, right?
Yeah, well put, Mordecai, yeah. Do we want to just call out, like...
Now the question is, do you guys know any elves?
Did I just...
Yeah, you guys... I'm just, like, I'm going to just put my hand up for a second. You guys all know at least one elf.
Two.
Okay.
Because at least one elf, and he might be here right now.
I just start calling out, like, elves from Renlin, like a crazy person, get up on maybe Geo's shoulders or something and just...
Come and get your elves from Renlin here.
Could I get you to roll a performance check?
Perfect. Oh, my God. 7.
I'm going to give you my bend luck. You get a D4 on top of that.
Okay.
Add a D4.
Okay, so roll 1D4, and we'll add that to that.
I always forget to use this feature.
I got a 3.
Okay, awesome. So total, that's 10.
There you go.
Okay.
Up to a 10.
All right, so you're kind of, I guess, like you jumped up on Giovanni's shoulder. Like, what are you doing? Like, describe to me exactly what you're doing.
Like, basically using Gio as a platform, his big broad shoulders, and then I'm just going to just, like, yell, like, elves from Renlin! Elves from Renlin! Like a crazy person. You know?
Could we chant it in unison for a bonus of some sort?
That would have given him advantage on this check, because that would have been giving the help action. But it's just too late now. He's already rolled.
Kind of after the fact.
So
now.
Yeah. You got a 10. Giovanni's cool with you just standing on his shoulders. I guess you're relatively light. And you start yelling, elves from Renlin, elves from Renlin. So there are hundreds of what you presume to be elves kind of all over the place in this room, walking about, seeming to make their way towards this exit door at the end of this tower. And several of them just kind of stare up at you. and look at you, and they're just sort of blank. They're not really doing anything, but one does walk forward.
I'd like to address them in Elvish. Are you a citizen of Renlin?
So it's a relatively young elf woman there. She has long brown hair, and she's looking at you very calmly. And she responds in Elvish. She says, "Yes, I am from Renlin."
Nice, okay. I'd like to just kind of slide off of Geo's shoulders so I just look less crazy, I guess.
Okay, you slip down.
And, obviously just introduce myself. Hi, I'm Valerius. I guess I'll introduce the others. This is Giovanni and Mordecai, my associates.
Hey.
We are from the garrison of Renlin, and I don't know if you're aware, but all the elves of Renlin are missing. Do you know anything about that or what transpired?
She looks at you, and she's just kind of... You have a tough time kind of figuring out the look on her face. But a couple seconds go by, and then it starts to feel a little awkward. Like, she should have responded by now. This is weird. This is kind of a social faux pas. And she doesn't respond to you. You just kind of are staring blankly at each other. It's a real awkward situation.
Oh, okay.
While they're talking, can I do an arcana check to see if they're charmed or under some sort of control?
By all means, roll a knowledge arcana.
Awesome. 12.
Looking around Mordecai after this really awkward interaction that Val's going through, you start to realize that everybody here sort of has the same blank look on their face that gentleman had that you spoke to before.
Mm.
And they seem to be moving around following some kind of direction.
Odd.
But you can't really figure out exactly what's going through their head. It's possible that this could be magic.
Mm. Guys, I just got a hunch. Maybe we move to the top of the tower. Just climb our way up. See if there's a building boss or something, like a guy in charge, whatever you want to call him, a head honcho.
Yeah, this seems like, I mean, that's a good idea, Mordecai. This, like, it seems like some kind of terminal or something.
A terminal. Ominous. Okay, yeah, let's go this way.
I'm going to start going towards whatever staircase leads up.
Okay, so across the room, you can see that there is what appears to be like a large doorway that kind of goes down some kind of hallway. But just before that, still part of the main structure that you're in are these twin stairs that seem to go up to a higher balcony. And you can start to make your way up those stairs. As you do that, there are elves that are kind of very slowly kind of making their way in the direction of that doorway. And you pass by a few of them and they start to kind of get crowded around that area. And you walk up the stairs. As you do so, you are passing elves that are making their way down the stairs. And you get up to the second level. The level is more or less identical to the one that you were on before, other than that there's this large hole in the center. It's not a flat floor, like going across like a building floor plan would be. It's like you can see the bottom floor where you were.
Like, see down.
And you can look up and you see that there are balconies above with the same exact circle. So you can kind of count them all the way up there.
Just guesstimating, how high up does this tower go?
Make a perception check.
Like, is it as high as we can see? Or yeah.
That's an 11.
It seems to go up pretty high, but it doesn't go on forever. It certainly seems like it stops. It doesn't seem like there would be maybe more than like 10 or 20 approximately balconies above you.
Sure.
There's no light coming in from above. It's dark. So you presume that maybe there's some type of ceiling.
Okay.
You can kind of make your own calculations about how high you think this building is based off of that stuff.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
So I was thinking about trying something really lazy, but if I don't know...
Are you going to burn your new, like, teleportation spell already?
I want to try it out just to get to the top of this tower, but then again, it has to be a point that I can see, so if I can't see over the lip of the balcony, that means we'd have to land on the balcony ledge, which means we could fall, and fall damage is terrible in D&D. So
yeah, you'd certainly be rolling the dice with that.
I'm going to reserve it for now.
Josh, this new floor that we're on, I presume there's just elves drifting by, going in through portals, this way and that, kind of just milling about, like, same as there was on the other floor?
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody sitting. It's not like a coffee shop. They're not like sitting down at tables and like talking with each other. Sure. They all are just kind of standing there.
Could I address one and just ask if there's a portal that goes to Renlin? I'm lost.
Sure.
I've lost my way. And does anyone know which portal would be going to Renlin?
Sure. Immediately out of a portal as you walk up, this person steps through and just appears on the other side is a relatively old man. He's an elf, but you can tell that he's quite ancient by elven standards. His hair is long and white. He even has a little bit of a beard, which is a little uncommon among elves. And he looks a little bedraggled, like his clothes are well worn. And you walk up to him and you say,
Excuse me, Elder Elf. Me and my companions have lost our way. Would you know which portal leads to Renlin?
The gentleman turns from where he was looking just a moment ago, which was straight ahead out of the portal, and he faces you. And he just kind of stops there, and he looks at you, and he doesn't respond.
Man, that's got to get annoying.
Okay, all right. I'm with you, Mordecai.
So, like, as we're, like, trucking up the multiple levels of stairs here, I'm just talking with the guys. I'm like, you know ants? How, like, they're given orders, they go around, they do all this work for the queen, and they just do their own shit, and, like, they don't pay attention to each other. This kind of feels like every single elf here is just an ant. Like, they're a drone.
I'll attest to that, Mordecai. I like to think we elves are a little bit more, you know, personable than this.
I mean, at least you'd see, like, chit-chat or something, right? Like, your life can't be so dull that you have nothing to talk about.
Precisely.
Geo, you alive? Clunk, 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 clunk.
All we hear is this plate armor on the back steps.
Yeah. I was following along. My skill sets isn't really complimentary to this kind of problem solving.
You could say that as Giovanni.
He did.
And John.
Yeah, as John.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Okay, you guys are continuing to make your way up this tower on these stairs. Could I get you guys all to make athletics checks?
Sure. And then as we're going, since everybody seems to be kind of dull, can I attempt to also make a sleight of hand to see if they've got anything in their pockets since we're in such a big crowd?
Boy, how did I know you were going to do that?
It's a 19 for Giovanni.
And a 17 for Mordecai.
And a 13 for Val.
Okay. Geo, despite the weight of your half plate, you are making pretty good strides up these staircases. You're doing just fine. Mordecai, you yourself are doing pretty good too. Val, you can feel yourself start to get a little winded following up behind the two in front of you. But the three of you are making your way up. You might be, I think, like 7 floors up at this point. Like, you're making good progress. Mordecai, could I get you to roll a sleight of hand check to try and pickpocket a elf as you pass them by?
Okay, and I'm going to use Tides of Chaos in this to take it at advantage.
Sure, sure, sure.
That's 7.
Okay, all right, yeah, so
shit.
You are passing by an elf. They just kind of look like, they don't look particularly poor, particularly rich, just kind of look like a commoner, like in terms of their clothes, what they're wearing. It's kind of in more plain clothes with like tans, colors, and things like that. Nothing too particularly special. But you pass by them and you reach your hand into what seems like a satchel. Mm. This person also has like a backpack on as well.
Okay.
And they have a satchel at their side and it's open. And you just really apparently just take your hand up and just put it into their satchel. And they don't respond to you.
Oh.
You just kind of do that. You reach in, you start jingling around, and you end up pulling out like a little purse. And in it is like 3 gold coins and a slip actually for picking up some dry cleaning. And that's about what you get. You do notice that the dry cleaning note says is like for a full set of clothes in the city of Asahalan.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Asahalan. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to that.
Yeah, if you ever need a spare. I mean, the person looks about your size. Like, they're kind of, you know, they're slim. Like, if you ever make your way there, it's entirely possible.
I keep ripping up all my clothes. It would be nice to have a second set.
Well, I think you're obviously onto something there, Mordecai, with your ant theory.
I'll relay this to the guys, too. Just like, they are blissfully unaware of everything.
Like, I literally just put my hand in this guy's pocket in front of him. Nothing happened. Giovanni, you could slap somebody in the face with a gauntlet. You'd probably be fine. Don't do that.
I mean, maybe do that. I don't know
that you put the idea in my head. It's kind of manifesting itself.
I can't stop thinking about it now.
Maybe it'll be one of you guys. Who knows? Did we get a long rest after the boss or just right into this?
You guys are full up, yeah. So, we kind of play by video game mechanics where you level up and you just get all of your shit back.
We level.
You didn't get like a long rest. You didn't like sleep or anything like that, but you are back up to full hit points. You have your lay on hands back. You have all of your spell slots back. The works.
Yeah, we chilled out using the dryad corpse as a bonfire, remember?
Yeah, that was also a level up. So if you listen to the most recent episode, you guys did level
up.
Oh,
we did.
Ah.
So are we level 8 now?
7.
Oh, okay. 7. Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's higher than I've ever been.
Okay, so are the three of you continuing to make your way up to the top of this structure?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's...
Hell yeah. Slow, purposeful steps.
And I don't really want to, I don't know with these guys, but I don't really want to keep bouncing through portals. I kind of, like video game mechanics, I kind of thought we got the warp point because we beat the druid. I don't want to just start wandering through random warp points.
Yeah. We don't know where these portals go. Like,
that's right.
You guys want to stay here and start a new life like Tom Hanks in the terminal?
We could. I mean, the amount of things we could steal from these folks.
Like. Please, let's use fantasy terms, okay? It's that puppet show.
The Terminus.
Terminus, starring Tom Shanks.
Yes.
Okay, so if you guys aren't doing anything else as you continue to make your way up, it takes you about maybe 30, 40 minutes. Like, it's a bit of a trek. Oof. And you'd say that maybe there's about... Mordecai, we'll say that you're kind of counting as you go up because you're trying to pay attention to some of this, but there might be about 10 to 12 balconies, but they're all very far spaced apart. So like climbing these stairs is like an additional floor almost, just trying to wind your way up to the next one. So it's a fair bit of walking and a fair bit of kind of getting up there. Val's getting a little winded, but eventually you make it to the final platform. And just like all the other ones, it's identical. It's this round circular balcony that kind of goes around the rim of this structure. And it has all of these portals that are just kind of appearing out of nowhere. They seem like maybe they're a little set into the walls. And there are less people up here because, of course, it's not as concentrated because no one's walking down to this floor. But you do see that there is another staircase that leads up to what appears to be above this ceiling that you are currently under.
Well, I don't see any offices. There's only one other way to go. Up.
Proceed.
I mean, at least we'll get a good vantage point out here, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay, the three of you make your way up to the staircase. It's rather shorter than the other ones. It doesn't seem to be as far spaced apart from the ceiling above you. And you make your way up it. And as you do, you start to feel cold. The air feels colder.
Oof.
And as you start to approach what appears to be some kind of exit, like just a clear hole in the ceiling, you can tell that there's light coming in, which is a little unexpected because all the other floors didn't have light other than the portals around them.
Hmm.
And you start to feel the familiar smells, the familiar sounds of fresh wind and cold air. And you take your final steps off of the staircase and you're standing on a perfectly flat roof. You don't know how the stone is interlocked to kind of create this flat thing on top of this tall structure, but it is, and as you do, you realize that you're in the mountains, and turning around, you see that there are no trees, no rivers, nothing. It is fresh air and clouds as far as the eye can see, perhaps higher up on the world than any of you have ever been.
Wow.
Oof.
Wow.
The sky is bright with sunrise coming over the mountains behind you. You can see that this structure itself is kind of laid into what seems like a mountain just near the top. You're not at the peaks, but you are certainly close to them. And turning around, you can see that this isn't a lone tower. This is a city.
Ooh.
And turning your back from the wilds, the open air, you can see the structures. And familiar to Val, it's Elven. You're in an elven city, elegant and brilliant as it shines in the sun, reflecting off of it. You can feel the fresh air whipping around you high up in this plateau that you're on, and you can see that this whole city is just absolutely gorgeous. There are these tall, thin buildings lining all around this tower and streets connecting all the different roads that seem to run around, but it's quiet. Eerily quiet. There are no birds, There's no singing up here that you can hear. It's just peaceful, quiet, and in solitude, resting upon this mountain.
Wow.
We can't even hear, like, people murmuring or, like...
Not so much, not up from where you are. You don't really hear anyone talking. Occasionally, the wind picks up and you can hear, like, some elven singing, but you don't hear, like, the hustle and bustle of a marketplace below you.
Sure. Or it's the commotion maybe from the tower that we just came from, because that seems to be busy, but not this city where you think most of them ought to be.
No, it's certainly, at most, it is dampened by this ceiling that you guys are currently standing on, this roof that you're standing on, all of the people walking around below you.
I mean, this is really pretty. Kind of makes Renlin look like a shithole.
it honestly does.
Okay, so this idea was a bust. Did anybody see any, like, name plaques above the portals for different towns on the way up?
I never thought to perceive that.
You know, like... Going to New Yorkston.
Yeah, none of you, in fact, thought to see if there were nameplates on any of the portals as you walked up. And based on your perception skills, if there were, you completely missed it.
Can I tuck my head back in and find out? Just dip back in.
Okay, Val disappears from the absolute glorious outlook that
hold
you're
on,
currently
hold
standing on.
Hold on a second.
Goes back downstairs.
He's like, I'm already over this.
Roll an investigation check.
Yeah, most certainly. I just go over one of them. I assume it'll be written in Elvis. Oh my god. 5.
Okay, so you duck down quickly and you kind of look at the closest portal. No plaque on it. That's about all you manage to gather in your very thorough investigation.
There doesn't seem to be any plaques there, Mordecai.
I exclaim thickly from below.
Yeah, it's kind of dampened and it's being picked up by, like, wind as it's circling around Giovanni and Mordecai standing on top of this roof. But, yeah, you do make out that Val has come up empty-handed.
Well, that was my idea, so
Do you think the characters would be awestruck by how beautiful the city is? Like, have any of them ever seen anything like this before?
Oh, Mordecai is 100% just, like, staring around.
Val has seen Elven Cities, but it has been a long, long time, perhaps.
And we have to remember he gave it up for trees.
That's right. So.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot that could be said about this. I'm not sure what quite would be turned into a roll. Like, if you want to get, like, a better idea about this city that you're standing on right now, I would ask you to roll a perception check. But based off of, like, Giovanni's question, John's question, you certainly have never seen a city as grandiose as this. It certainly is something completely foreign to you. You might say that Nardini shared some similarities to this because it too was an elven city and there were large stone structures. I'm going to get you actually guys to roll an investigation check to see, like, if you guys can recognize the similarities between this and other places you've been.
17.
18.
And I presume that Val makes his way up to the
yes,
roof
I'm back with the others.
Make a similar roll.
Well, I rolled a 7, so it wasn't much better. Thank goodness I could perceive it a little bit better when I didn't have the roof in my way, but yeah.
Yeah, Val, this is an elven city.
Safe to say that Val hasn't been to this specific elven city before.
I'm not sure if you would even know that with your investigation. It looks like there's a lot of similar features here. Like, there's some, like, arches that look pretty familiar to you, but you're not quite sure. As for Giovanni and Mordecai, you guys have never been to an elven city other than Nardini before. As I said before, there's some similarities between it, but Nardini itself seemed like it certainly incorporated styles of more modern building into it. Like, it's bricks kind of layered, like stone bricks kind of layered and cunningly wrought together. But you have a tough time in the structure you're standing on right now, seeing where stone is being fit together. It almost seems like it was carved directly out of the mountain and it's been formed perfectly like this. But that's really what you gather from this. It is certainly a huge city, but it's not huge in the sense of, like, it's long and sprawling. It is just gloriously long and tall, almost like it's trying to mimic the peaks of the mountains around you. It doesn't go out for leagues or leagues. It's a relatively kind of condensed city, but it's condensed upwards, flowing up.
Hmm. I have no idea where to go.
Can we check out the city?
Yeah, I was going to suggest...
I mean, yeah, I think we'd have to go back down first.
Do you think so, Mordecai?
Well, We're on the roof of a tower.
Oh, yeah.
But there's portals everywhere. Surely one of them must go down.
Can you fly?
Yeah, sure. I guess is that, yeah. Well, I mean, the portals may not be so bad. I mean, if we came from the Dryad's, you know, antechamber, you know, into this tower, then, I mean, it might just go to other parts of the city or safe spots or... I'm not sure. Maybe it's...
It could send us into the middle of the fire plane. I don't know.
It could. I mean...
It could be a one-way trip.
Is there a fire plane? Is that... That's confirmed?
Probably.
Knowledge religion,
so Mordecai believes to be true. or fears.
I read a lot of books. You see, the world is kind of like a disc.
A flat disc.
Yeah, please. It's flatter with the world.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we maybe start charting a path to the city? Unless
sure.
You guys want to fuck with some portals.
There was a tunnel on the main floor before we came up. So, I mean, if we get part of the way down, I could take whoever's the most tired the rest of the way down.
It's probably too late to check now, but was the portal we came here through still open when we got here?
I think based off of the description I gave you, yes. It was open behind you. It was like a static open portal.
Okay, so we could just start trying portals, because I don't think they're just going to close when we go through them.
I will let you do that.
Well, I don't know. You get,
Yeah.
You guys are much more crane than I am. I'm just throwing out ideas. Like, if you don't think that's a good idea, I won't do it.
Well, you see, since I have the most knowledge about magic, I'd like to take a supervisory role and not do that.
That's fine.
Okay, cool. Val, you're up.
Well, it sounds like it's either backtracking it to the tunnel or trying the portals, so I seem pretty leery about these portals.
I'm gonna start walking back down.
And then, you said it was what? It was 12 layers?
Yeah, about that.
Would you say that that's approximately 12 stories?
Well, it sounds like it's more than that, yeah.
Okay.
Just because those staircases kind of doubled up in some of the height that they were covering.
Okay. So when we're about halfway, I'll check to see who's the most weary.
Okay. We will let's make athletics checks rather.
Sure.
14.
3 for Val.
Lord, give me strength. 16.
Object did give you strength. So
usually
Mordecai
does.
and Giovanni, you guys are doing relatively okay as you make your way down. You're certainly starting to feel more tired because this is a lot of climbing. Val, however, though, is completely winded. He was winded before, and now he's just struggling as he's walking down.
Val, you look a little worse for wear. Gio, do you think you'd be able to huck it the rest of the way by yourself?
Me? Like, carrying Val? I'm confused.
No. I'll take care of Val. You're going to be able to make it down without, you know, sweating to death?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to grab Val and Dimension Door down to the bottom.
Of course you are.
Wow.
I'm glad you burnt that so quickly into season 4.
I desperately
Mordecai.
Wanted to use that spell.
Okay,
wow.
So that's cool. Great. That's done. Okay, mark that as used.
Already did.
I already did.
So, like, I'll wrap my arm around Val's shoulder and just be like,
just don't puke on me.
And before he has a chance to answer, we into this portal and are already standing on
Excellent.
The bottom floor.
So in a building full of portals, you guys create a new one and you suddenly find yourselves on the bottom floor of this tower. You're now standing dead center on that same floor that you guys first walked onto, surrounded by elves. Giovanni is still about halfway up the tower. It'll take him a little bit to kind of catch up to you guys. But he's trucking, you know, he's got energy. He's a fit guy. He works out at the gym with the gym bros. He knows what he's doing. He walks the stairs all the time. He's used to this. Yeah.
I'm going to reach into my bag of holding. Val, you're going to need this. I'm going to pass him some rations.
Thanks, Mordecai.
We got time.
Is that a Cliff Bar? Okay, so you're standing on this first floor here. Giovanni's still about halfway up, but he's coming down. What do the two of you do while he's making his way?
While we're waiting for Giovanni, I just want to stake out that tunnel a little bit and just make sure it's not a complete dead end.
Okay. So you see that all of the elves are kind of making their way towards what appears to be some kind of exit, like a doorway with arches above the top of it. It's maybe about 30 feet up. It's a pretty large door, like in terms of height. It looks very grandiose. You might expect similar of elven architecture. And you make your way towards it. And you can see that it gets much more crowded here as the people are making their way through it. And you don't really hear any conversation. No one's really talking. But could I get you to make a perception check?
Yeah. 20.
Okay. So this hallway continues to extend for maybe another 100 feet or so. And it's quite cluttered. There's a lot of people kind of walking down it. But you can see that there are large windows that kind of outline every 10 or 20 feet, just open up to the elements outside, letting light in. And you see that you're not on like a tunnel going through a mountain. You're actually on some kind of walkway, like a causeway between buildings. And looking out, you can see that there is nothing underneath this place. And like the drop just goes into the clouds. You can't see anything beyond it.
Wow.
And that might be a little nerve-wracking. It certainly is for me. I'm describing it, and my palms are sweating, thinking about how high up this imaginary walkway is that I've just described to you. And you do hear some halting conversation, maybe, at the very far end of this hallway.
Okay.
It's not like a lot of people talking or like a crowd of people just kind of yelling at each other or anything like that. It seems very much just like halting, like questions and answers kind of thing.
Sure, sure. Okay. I just want to make sure this was not blocked off or something crazy. So I guess I'll wait for Geo.
Sure. Geo not really doing anything else. Maybe takes him about another 10 or 15 minutes of you guys just waiting there. Enough time for Val to kind of catch his breath. And then Giovanni runs up and, you know, he's feeling, I presume Geo's feeling pretty fit. You know, he's doing pretty well. It's nice to be out of a cavern.
Yeah, he's enjoying the fresh air, to be honest. It's nice.
And it's the three of you now standing at this exit way port from this tower that you're in.
Cool. Can we try and find the source of these conversation?
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't seem like but like any of these other elves have been conversing with each other as they've been just kind of milling about in these towers. So
okay, the three of you start following the crowd down this walkway, and eventually you see that at the end of this appears to be another large wall with another large door in the middle of it. But right before it, as you maybe get within 30, 40 feet of it, you see that this crowd that's around you sort of forms a line. Like, it's pretty weird. You don't quite know how these people are kind of forming themselves. There's no one giving them directions, but they're kind of forming up into a nice little line. And it's getting a lot slower here. And as you get further and further down this hallway and closer to that door, you notice that there seems to be some type of desk at the end of the hall, right before the door. And behind that desk, there seems to be somebody sitting at a table. They are speaking to the people, the elves, as they pass by. And the elves stop and speak to them, and then they continue on.
Okay. So we've just been hearing this kind of like you said, just kind of a call response kind of conversation, just this administrator's asking them maybe a couple questions and then proceeding through the door kind of thing.
Yeah, that you can deduce that.
Sure, okay. You guys want to just hang tight and see what the guy says?
I mean, might as well bug the information desk.
Well,
makes sense.
Somebody's okay. Talking anyways, right?
It's actually a tourist, it's one of those tourist bureaus.
Oh, no.
A kiosk.
I think I freaked out the first guy we talked to, so maybe one of you guys should do the talking here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Val, you've got the best Elvish. Mine is not so hot.
Okay. So with Val in the lead and Giovanni and Mordecai in tow, you find a place in line and you patiently kind of wait as the line progresses. Eventually, you make your way.
Is there wait music?
There is no wait music. It's just quiet. It's eerie silence, although you can kind of hear the sounds of like...
Terrible.
Of elven voices kind of singing off in the background. You can't quite tell where it's coming from exactly, but you know, you're making it up. They're not saying the woman from
the girl from Ipanema. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not hearing that in Elvish as you walk through. It's just kind of, you know, quiet, eerie almost.
Imagine wind chimes somehow.
Wind chimes. Shit ton of wind chimes. You don't know where that noise is coming from, but it certainly sounds like it. Val, as you approach the table, you see what appears to be a young elf man, a high elf, you would describe them, perhaps. He's wearing kind of tan robes and has very short hair, which is unusual for an elf, but it's kind of like crew cut, sort of Brendan-esque, actually, in some ways. And he's just looking down at what appears to be like stacks and stacks of paper, and he has a quill, and he's just kind of taking notes like quickly. And you can kind of make out from some of the questions that were being asked as you got closer and closer to the front that he seems to be asking for, like, census information, almost. And you approach the desk, and he says, name?
Valerius.
Valerius.
Mordecai?
Area of residence?
Renlin.
Renlin. Oh, fuck. And he kind of, like, he flips his paper over and, like, goes through another drawer. Like, there's, like, drawers behind him. And he starts flipping through the papers. Fuck. Oh, God damn it. All right. And he pulls out a piece of paper, puts it down. Valerius, Renlin. Okay. Thank you. He doesn't even look up at you or anything. And he tucks it back in there and then goes, sits at his desk again.
Could I ask him, like what seems to be going on? Like,
Well, just ask.
Yeah, with regards to the teleport, I just want to ask him, hey, these portals, kind of, I'm new to it. How does it work?
He jumps. He's shocked. He jumps. He looks up and he sees you. And then he looks over and he sees Mordecai and Giovanni.
Hey.
I wave.
And he looks back at you. Fuck. Okay. All right. Somebody else. Okay. All right. Thank God. God. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode and to all other episodes if you've made it up until this point. A special thanks to Jason, Al, DJ Seath, Aaron, and Ethan. You guys have been patrons of ours for a real long time, and we have a lot more planned for you guys, so it's nice to have you guys along for the ride. If you want to hear more from us, you can check us out over on Instagram as Leighton Legends, or join us over on Facebook. That's where we post a lot of our, like, content stuff, and it's also where we like to post fun things, like if we're going to be doing a live show. Like, that's fun. People like that sometimes. If you really want to buckle down and support us, you can join us over on Patreon, but of course there's no pressure. We just like that you listen to us. That makes us feel good, and that's a lot of the time all we need. Stay tuned as we have more planned and more coming up on the way. We'll see you guys next week.